Chapter 5. From Limeridge to Blackwater. Pages from Marion Halcombe's diary.
Limeridge House, the 9th of November, 1849. Because she is so good and honest, Laura decided that she wanted to tell Sir Percival Glyde the truth about being in love with someone else. I tried to tell her not to, but she was determined. She arranged a meeting this morning with Sir Percival Glyde in the drawing room, and she asked me to go with her. "I want to talk to you about something important, Percival," Laura began. Sir Percival Glyde looked very anxious, but said nothing. 2 years ago, you asked me to marry you, and I said yes. I said yes because my father wanted me to marry you. I won't break that promise, so if the marriage does not happen, then it will be because you, not I, have decided not to marry." Sir Percival Glyde seemed very confused. "But why would I decide that?" Laura's cheeks went red. "When I agreed to marry you, I had no feelings towards any man, and I was ready to marry you, to get to know you, and for you to win my heart, if you could. But since then, I have had strong feelings for another person." A tear ran down her cheek. Sir Percival Glyde said nothing, but covered his face with his hands. Laura spoke again.
"Nothing has happened with the other person. This will be the last time I mention him, and he and I are very unlikely to ever meet again. If you do not want to marry me now, I understand."
Sir Percival Glyde stood up and walked towards Laura. "I haven't changed my mind. Your openness and honesty is very important to me. I trust you. Laura, you are the best of women."
"No," cried Laura suddenly. "I am the saddest of women, if I must give myself to a marriage when I cannot give my love."
"But in time, when we know each other better, you may start to love me," he said.
"Never," she answered. "If the marriage has to happen, then I will try my best to be an honest and good wife to you, but I will never love you."
"Then I will gratefully accept that," he said quietly. Then he stood up, kissed Laura's hand, and left the room. Poor, honest, innocent Laura. She thought that Sir Percival Glyde would decide not to marry her after her confession, but revealing the truth has had the opposite effect. The 25th of November. It is a sad day today. The wedding date has been agreed. This time next month, the wedding will have happened. Both Laura and I feel sick when we think about it, but what can we do? Laura has made me say that I will go and live with her in Hampshire after the wedding, and I am happy to promise that. It is the least that I can do for her. The 16th of December. There is more bad news. Sir Percival Glyde has decided that he and Laura will travel to Europe immediately after the wedding, and that they will stay in Rome until early next summer. Laura and I will be separated for many months. I have also learned that the Baronet is very good friends with Count Fosco and his wife Eleanor, Laura's aunt, and he plans to meet them in Italy. The 22nd of December. 10 a.m. The day has come, and Laura and I have both promised each other to be brave. She is dressed, and in less than half an hour we will go to the church. Oh, how can this be happening? 3 p.m. It is all over. They are married and have gone. I am blind from crying. I cannot write any more. Blackwater Park, Hampshire. The 11th of June, 1850. It is June now, 6 months after the wedding. I am now at my new home, Blackwater Park. It is a very strange house, and I am not at all sure that I like it. Oh, I have missed Laura. She and her new husband are due to return here tomorrow evening. Her letters have only explained where they have been and what they have done, so I do not really know how she is. She has mentioned spending time with her aunt, Eleanor Fosco, and her husband, Count Fosco. She does not seem to like the Count, but has not said why. I wonder what she means. So, what other news do I have after all this time? I have had two letters from Walter Hartwright. In the first letter, he said that he was being watched and followed by strange men in London. He thought it was connected with Anne Catherick. Then, in the second letter, he said he was leaving England to work in Honduras for a year. I do hope he is safe. Anne Catherick is still missing, despite Sir Percival Glyde paying people to keep searching for her. We know nothing more about her, or her friend, Mrs. Clements. And poor Mr. Gilmore has become very ill, and the doctor has told him that he must not work at the moment. I think the only person who seems to be in a better position is Mr. Fairley. He is now alone at Limeridge House, and he can be miserable and extremely nervous in peace. The 12th of June. I spent the morning exploring the house and gardens. I found an interesting old boathouse near the lake and went inside to have a look. I was surprised to see a small dog there. It was badly injured and very frightened. I picked it up and carried it back to the house. Sadly, the dog had been shot and seemed to be dying. I asked the housekeeper to get a blanket for it. When she saw it, she immediately said, "Oh, that's Mrs. Catherick's dog. Mr. Baxter probably shot it. He looks after the land here, and Sir Percival Glyde has told him to shoot any strange dogs." "Oh, but why was Mrs. Catherick's dog here?" I asked. "The dog was with her when she came here a few days ago. Someone had seen Anne in the area, so Mrs. Catherick had come to find out more," she replied. "She asked lots of questions about the new Lady Glyde. Oh, and she told us not to tell Sir Percival Glyde that she had visited. That did seem a bit of a strange thing to say." It certainly was strange. Why would she say that if she had a good relationship with Sir Percival Glyde? I am sorry to say that the poor dog did not survive. Oh, I must stop writing. I can hear the carriage outside. Laura and her new husband have returned at last. The 15th of June. I am so pleased to have Laura back in England with me. But I am beginning to see for myself how the marriage is. Sir Percival Glyde is certainly very different in his own home. He is not very polite to the servants, and he complains to them a lot about small things. Count and Madame Fosco have returned from Europe with Sir Percival and Lady Glyde, and will be staying at Blackwater until they find a place to live in London. The Count is certainly very interesting and is extremely intelligent. He is a very tall, fat man of about 60 years old, who really enjoys his food. He is surprisingly charming too. I do not know what to think of him, but one thing I admire is that he can control his wife, Madame Fosco. She is very different to the Eleanor Fairley I used to know. She is very quiet and does everything her husband tells her to. The 16th of June. Something odd happened today. We were all sitting having lunch together when a servant came in. He told Sir Percival Glyde that someone called Mr. Merriman wanted to see him about a very important matter. The baronet looked worried and immediately left the room. "Who is Mr. Merriman?" asked Laura.
"He's Sir Percival Glyde's solicitor," replied Count Fosco quietly.
I immediately became very suspicious. Sir Percival Glyde did not return to the dining room. A few hours later, as I began to go up the stairs towards my room, the library door opened and I heard a voice.
"All I will say is this," I heard the lawyer say. "It all depends on Lady Glyde."
When I heard Laura's name, I stopped and stood still.
"She must sign her name on the document in front of a witness, and it must be done by this time next week. Then everything will be fine, and your money worries will be over. But if she doesn't sign, well, I may be able to persuade them to wait another 3 months for the bills to be paid. But where the money would come from during that time, I don't know."
"I told you, I will get the document signed," replied Sir Percival Glyde.
"Good," said Mr. Merriman, and they started to walk towards the front door. I quickly went up the stairs so that they would not see me. Having heard enough of the conversation to understand that Sir Percival Glyde was trying to take money from Laura, I went straight to Laura's room.
"I suspected Percival had some money problems," she said, when I explained the news. "And I don't trust Count Fosco. He is a close friend of Percival's, and I think he knows a lot. Don't worry, I won't sign anything that will cause problems for you and me."
The 17th of June. A lot has happened today. In the morning, we all went out for a walk around the lake and visited the boathouse. Without thinking, I mentioned the injured dog I had found there. I explained how I tried to save it and that it was Mrs. Catherick's dog. Sir Percival Glyde immediately became very angry and demanded to know why Mrs. Catherick had been at Blackwater and who had spoken to her. I have never seen such a shocking change in a man. When I mentioned that she had talked to the housekeeper, Sir Percival Glyde immediately returned to the house. What can this all mean? There is definitely something very strange going on. When the rest of us returned to the house, a servant was waiting in front of it with a horse and a small carriage. Inside the house, we found Sir Percival Glyde, who was anxiously walking up and down the hall.
"Ah, there you all are. I'm afraid I have to leave you all. There's something I need to do that cannot wait, but I will be back tomorrow," he said. "But before I go, there is a small business matter I need help with. Would you all mind coming to the library for a moment?"
He spoke very sweetly and politely.
"It's just a witness's signature. It won't take long."
So, the moment had come for him to try to get the document signed. I hoped that Laura would be strong. Sir Percival Glyde put a folded document on the table in front of us. He opened only the bottom part of the document and said to Laura,
"Sign your name there. Fosco and Miss Halcombe will witness it, and then they will sign after you."
"What is the document?" she asked quietly.
"I'm afraid there is no time to explain," he answered. "I have to leave. Let's get it done as soon as possible."
"I ought to know what I am signing, Percival."
"Nonsense! There's no need. And anyway, it's all written in lawyer's formal language. I don't think you would understand it. Come on now," he said, the anger growing in his voice.
"If I am promising something with my signature, then surely I have the right to know what that something is," Laura said. He picked up the document and hit the table with it angrily.
"So you don't trust me? Is that it?"
The Count put his hand on the Baronet's shoulder.
"Control yourself, Percival," he said. "Lady Glyde is right."
I decided to speak too.
"I agree. I don't feel comfortable witnessing her signature unless she understands the document."
I could see that Sir Percival Glyde was furious now.
The Count then spoke quietly and firmly.
Let's all keep calm. Percival, can't this document wait until tomorrow to be signed?
If it has to wait, then it must, Sir Percival Glyde replied.
He looked at his watch and angrily locked the document away in a cupboard. Then he stared hard at Laura and said,
It will be signed tomorrow.
He left the room, and we heard the carriage race away from the house. The 17th of June, evening. It is late, and I am so tired. This afternoon, because poor Mr. Gilmore is still ill, I wrote a letter to his business partner, Mr. Curl, to ask his advice. I put it in the postbag by the front door of the house. Then, not long after, Madame Fosco came into the hall and asked me to go for a walk with her in the gardens. She has never done that before, so I was quite surprised. When we returned and I pushed the front door open, the Count was standing next to the postbag. I was suspicious. Once he had gone, I took my letter out of the postbag. I was sure that I had closed the envelope firmly, but now it looked as though someone may have opened it. Could Count Fosco have read the letter? The idea made me feel sick. It was a warm summer evening, so later I took Laura for a walk down by the lake. We went into the boathouse where we could talk in private.
Marian, Laura said, I cannot keep it from you any longer. I am miserable. I should never have married Percival. He treats me very badly indeed. He has discovered that it was Walter I had feelings for, and he hates me and punishes me for it.
It was upsetting to hear how unhappy she was. It had begun to get dark, and it was also a little foggy, and so we decided to go back to the house. As we were walking, I saw someone near the water, but I could not tell whether it was a man or a woman. The person walked towards the boathouse and then seemed to disappear into the fog. Laura was anxious, so I told her it was nothing to worry about. But as we were walking through the trees back to the house, there was a noise behind us. Keep walking, Laura, I said as calmly as I could, and I led her away quickly by the hand. Count and Madame Fosco were in the drawing room when we returned, and the servants were all in the kitchen. I am sure that the mysterious person that followed us cannot have been anyone from the house. Who could it have been?